Thank you for joining us for today's message. We are so encouraged to know that God is using the ocean to impact your life through the ministry of the Word. Knowing that your life is being transformed is exactly why we exist. As our vision says, we exist to know Jesus and make Him known. So sit back, relax, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your life through this message.
Excited this morning. I am so excited because, first of all, we're in a new month. You know, how cool is that? But with that, what it means is that we're also starting a new sermon series. So I am so keen and I am so excited for this new sermon series because I believe that the Lord is going to do amazing things in our church through this sermon series. I believe that God is going to speak to us in a fresh and in a new way through this sermon series. And the title of the sermon series is When the Church Praise. Come on now. When the church prays. I mean, when the church prays, amazing things happen. When the church prays, grand things happen. It's so amazing what God can do when the church chooses to pray. And so the reason why I'm so passionate about this is because I believe that if there is ever a time that we need to be praying as a church, that time is now. I believe that as a church of Jesus Christ, we cannot afford not to pray. Because prayer is the heart of the church. Without prayer, we are as good as dead. Prayer is so vital. Prayer is so necessary to the life of the church. In fact, if it's anything, I believe that it's through prayer that this church is even here where it is today. It's through the prayers of the faithful men and women of God who pray and intercede for this church that we are here today. And I praise the Lord for all the people who are praying for this church, because it's your prayers that are helping this church to get to where it needs to be, because prayer is the heart of the church. But if I'm going to be completely transparent, I honestly sometimes worry. I worry that some of us in here who call the ocean home, who call ourselves Oceanite, I worry that sometimes maybe we don't actually believe that prayer is actually important and vital. I believe that sometimes we maybe think that prayer is such a secondary thing or it's a waste of time. But church, I'm here to tell you this morning that without prayer, the work that we do here is a waste of time. Without prayer backing us up, without prayer empowering us, what we do here is a waste of time, because prayer is at the heart of who we are as a body of Christ. Prayer is at the heart of who we are as believers. So we can never neglect prayer, or we can never take prayer lightly. And so everywhere in the Bible, and even more so in the New Testament, we tend to see how the Bible encourages us as a church and as believers to come together and pray. And we see that when people come together, when the community of believers comes together and they pray together, this is what we call corporate prayer. Now, in the life of a believer, there is a place for personal prayers, but there is also a very central and key place for corporate prayer. Because God moves, yes, in our prayers when we pray as individuals, but also there is a very vital place for corporate prayer, which means us coming together as a body of believers to pray. And so this morning, I'm on a mission to show you from the Word of God and from church history how fundamental corporate prayers are in the body of Christ. I want to show you that God has ordained corporate praying over church such that His mighty works increase exponentially and His purposes are accelerated when we pray together. And my prayer is that by the end of this sermon series, that church, we will then begin to make the next step to involve ourselves in prayer. That by the end of this sermon series, we'll not just sit on the sidelines, but we'll take part in coming together with the rest of the body to begin to pray, because amazing things happen when the church prays. So I would like for you right now to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 1. Now, let me just give you a bit of some context and background story here. So in Acts chapter 1, we see Luke, the person who wrote the Gospel of Luke. He's also the one that wrote the book of Acts. So Luke is telling us what happened after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Luke explains to us in the early parts of Acts chapter 1 that after Jesus resurrected, he then came down and he came to meet his disciples from time to time to actually prove to them and show them that he's actually alive. Because some of them were a bit discouraged and whatnot. And so Jesus came to show them that, hey, here I am, I'm still alive. And so during that time, Jesus then began taking time to speak to his apostles about the kingdom of God. Now, in that conversation and during that time as he was spending time with them, Jesus then gave them a command. He told them that, I don't want you to leave Jerusalem. Do not leave Jerusalem until when you receive the gift that my Father has promised to give you. And that gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus told them that stay in Jerusalem until when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, because it's the gift of the Holy Spirit that would empower them and give them the ability to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. Now, what I love about the disciples is that they were so obedient. And so they obeyed Christ's orders. So what happens is that now they return to Jerusalem. And so we see this in Acts chapter 1, verse 12 to 14, what happens. It's a very short passage, yet so potent. And this is what the word of God says. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. Now here's where it gets interesting. Verse 14 says that they all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and several other women and the brothers of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that, Lord, may your truth come alive. And Father, may it speak to our hearts so that, God, it may do the work in us that you want it to do so that we can go out and begin to live out your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Now here, we actually see a picture of the first prayer meeting in the Christian era. So after the disciples come back, you know, to Jerusalem, according to Jesus' order, they go to the upper room to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, while they were there in the upper room, they could have easily decided to do anything else. But what did they decide to do? The Bible tells us that they met together and they were constantly united in prayer. How cool is that? That they come together and they were constantly united in prayer. Now, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we also see a very similar idea, which actually paints to us the picture how the early church was so devoted to prayer. In Acts 2, 42, we are told that all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Prayer was so key for the early church. Prayer was so vital in the life of the early church. We are told in Acts 1 that they were constantly united in prayer. In Acts chapter 2, we're told that they were devoted to prayer. These two words, constantly and devoted, it actually shows persistence. It shows faithfulness. It shows diligence. That they were so diligent in praying together because they understood the power of praying together as a community of believers. And now I believe that the Lord is challenging us this year as the Ocean Church to become a church of people who pray and people who actually pray together. I believe this is a challenge that the Lord is giving us this year, that we need to go deeper. We need to go to deep places with him. We need to begin to make prayer a priority in his life, because I'm telling you, when the church prays, amazing things happen. And so prayer is so vital to the life of this church. We will not be able to do the things that we're doing without prayer. We will not even be able to be here without prayer. And so prayer is so vital. And I want to show you this morning why corporate prayer is important. Why do we push for people to come together and pray together here at the Ocean? It's not something that we try to push so that people can just look churchy. No, but it's because we actually believe in what it actually represents and what it actually stands for. And so here is what I want you to learn. The first thing is, when the church prays, we become united. When the church prays, we become united. Listen, prayer is a tremendous unifying factor. Prayer is such a great uniting force. It draws us closer and it knits us together as a community of believers. There is just a special kind of bonding that takes place when God's people join together to cry out to God for the same needs and for each other's needs. There is so much power when we come together. In fact, in the book of James, chapter 5, James tells us that we need to pray for one another. Because when we pray for one another, it just brings this sense of unity. It just binds us together. It knits us together. Because when you pray for somebody, when they tell you what their prayer need is, it actually requires for them to be vulnerable. Because prayer is very vulnerable. And for somebody to tell you what their need is, it makes them have to be vulnerable. And that then brings us so much more closer together. And I believe that God desires for his church to be united. I believe that God desires for his church to be knit together, to be tight. And this can only happen when we choose to meet together and pray together, because that's what God wants us to do. But also, corporate prayer helps us encourage each other in seeking the Lord. That when one person grows weary, the person next to them can lift them up. That when one person grows tired, the person next to them can pray for them. That when one person is weighed down, then the person next to them can actually pray for them. And this is what prayer does. Prayer helps us to be united. We all become uplifted and unified in common faith. And church, I'm telling you, unity is absolutely necessary in the life of a church. We need to be united. Jesus talks about unity all the time. Everywhere in the Bible you see, we're encouraged to be united as believers because unity is absolutely essential, because a house divided against itself cannot stand. A house that is full of discord and disunity will not be able to stand. And that is why we are encouraged to be united. And I'm telling you, there is something that corporate prayer does, that when we're able to come together with one mind, one heart, one spirit, one purpose, that it just brings us so much more closer together as opposed to when we're not praying together. So I want to tell you this morning, church, that corporate prayer is vital. That when the church prays, we become so united. Now, I want to show you just a few pictures to illustrate what I'm actually saying. So this is what happened yesterday at our corporate prayer at Catalyst, where a body of believers came together and we started praying for various needs. We started praying for specific things, but we also got time to pray for one another. That looks like unity to me. That looks like a body of Christ that is united. And imagine, that's just a fraction of this church. I tell you, if we choose to see the importance of corporate prayer, that space at the annex will not be enough. Because that was just 60 people, and it was so powerful. So powerful. I'm telling you, if you were there, you would have realized how the presence of God was so heavy and was so evident in that place. But church, I'm telling you, when you don't choose to prioritize corporate prayer, when you don't see the importance in us coming together, then we miss out on that. Because I believe that God wants each and every one of us to be part of this body and to be united. And corporate prayer has the power to do that. Corporate prayer unites us as a body. But further to that, when the church prays, oh man, God moves. When the church prays, God moves. You see, corporate prayer allows us to unitedly and unanimously intercede and cry out to God for specific needs. There is so much power when 100, 200, 300, 400 voices are coming together to pray for the same thing. It is so powerful. And even just the sight of it, it's just so amazing and it's so mind-blowing, because it just shows how we're all desperately crying out to God for the exact same thing. It's so when we come together and when we pray together, I'm telling you, God moves. God does amazing things in our midst when we choose to pray in agreement. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 to 20, that if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together in my name, I am there among them. There is authority and power in prayer of agreement. Jesus' statement points to the principle of synergism in the realm of faith and prayer. That when we pray together, there is power and there is authority. That the united actions of two or more people harmoniously working together and praying together towards the same thing, it helps to bring great results. Because God moves. God moves in our midst when we come and move together. So we see that even in the scripture that Jesus promises us that when we pray in agreement, two things happen. That one, the Father takes action in heaven on the requests. And two, the presence of Jesus will be in our midst on earth. Now, this is not to say that in our personal prayers that Jesus is not there. Because we all know that by virtue of becoming believers, the Spirit of God lives in us. But this is to say that there is something unique and special that happens when we all gather together in His name for worship and prayer. That there is something so powerful that happens that we cannot underestimate the power of prayer in the life of the church when we come together. Because if we as a church are not united in prayer, then we limit our effectiveness. We could be able to do so much more should we choose to come in prayer. God would be able to do so much more should we all choose to come together in prayer. But when we choose to begin to pray together, as a collective, as a unified body, then God moves in mighty ways. God will do amazing things exceedingly abundantly. Or we could even ask or think when we make that decision to come together and pray together. So what a difference there is when the church prays together. Church, we need to pray. We are called to pray. We are called to pray even for our church. Because prayer for the church is the source for its wisdom. It's the success for its witness, and it's the secret for its warfare. Prayer for the church is the supplier of its workers and the strength of its walk. I am telling you, God works through the prayer of His people. If we want to see great things happen, if we want to see the vision of God, if we want to see where God is taking us, if we want to see what God wants us to do as a church, then church, let us pray. If we want to see the lives of people be changed, church, let's begin to pray. Because when we pray, when God's people pray, that is you and I, not just a few people in this church who meet and pray, but that's us. When you and I take up our rightful places in this body and begin to pray together, God is going to move and God is going to do amazing things. But church, we're also called to pray for our city. We're called to pray for our nation. And so you know the power that happens when we all come together and we're praying over the same needs in our city and in our nation, in our continent and in the world. God begins to move. We begin to see the changes of the things that we are praying for. So if we want to see the reversal of injustice in our community, let's pray together. If we want to see the reversal of moral deterioration in our community, let's begin to pray together. Because God moves and God works when His people pray. And time again in the Bible, we see that when God wants to do something great in the world, He first stirs His people to pray. Just go through your Bible, even read through the Old Testament, you will see that. That when God wants to do something so great, He stirs His people to pray. And so when God wants to touch a family today, a church, a city, or a nation, He begins by moving His people to pray. But the question is, are we ready to move when God asks us to move? Are we ready to step up to the challenge and begin to actually pray? Because amazing things happen when we pray. Prayer is always the first stage in God's plan to change the world. In fact, an evangelical minister called Samuel D. Gordon said it so well. He said that we can do many things once we have prayed, but we can do nothing until we have prayed. We can do many things once we've prayed, but we can do nothing until we've prayed. And so, church, hear me when I tell you that nothing of eternal significance can be accomplished apart from prayer. If we want to see things shift, if we want to see the move of God, then let's start praying. That's how important it is. And so when we pray as a church, we then begin to accomplish the work of God and the purpose of God in this world. So prayer is not some small, insignificant, secondary thing, but prayer is the central thing in the life of our church. Prayer is our central purpose. And I know and believe that God wants to move in our church. He wants to move in our city. He wants to move in our nation. God wants to do great things in this continent and in the world. But that will only happen when the Church of Jesus Christ wakes up and then they begin to pray. When we wake up from our slumber and take up our rightful places as the watchmen and we begin to pray. That when we begin to rise up and take up the role that God has given us to begin to intercede for this church, for the nation, for the city, for the world, until we do that, things will not change. Because God moves when his people pray. And so church, this is my desire for our church this year. That may we become a church that lives prayer, breathes prayer, smells prayer, tastes prayer, believes in prayer, sleeps prayer, wakes up praying, praying while we work, praying while we rest, praying through every conflict, praying through the good things, praying through the bad, praying about every decision, praying in the night, praying in the day, and in the middle of the night when we wake up, let us be a church that prays. Let us be a church that prays. That is my desire. Because when the church prays, God moves. When the church prays, lives will be changed. When the church prays, sinners will come running asking, where can I go to be saved? When the church prays, addicts are released from their addictions. When the church prays, that wayward child begins to act right. When the church prays, the sick are healed. When the church prays, the government will treat people right. When the church prays, we will stop stumbling and fumbling. When the church prays, backsliders will return to God. When the church prays, the truth will be preached from this pulpit. When the church prays, we will read and study our Bibles more. When the church prays, we will forgive one another. When the church prays, the church will hear from heaven. When the church prays, blessings will come down. When the church prays, power will come down. That's what happens when we pray. That's what God is calling us to do. So prayer is vital. Prayer is necessary because when the church prays, all these things happen. All the things that we're believing for, that we would like to see God do, they will happen when we begin to pray. When we begin to come as a unified body and all carrying the same burdens and begin praying together for the same things, storming heaven. I'm telling you, God will not sleep and God will begin to work and God will begin to do the things that we're believing him for because all the things that we're praying for are in the will of God. And God is going to answer our prayers. Because you see, God will never give us a burden to pray for something if he has no intention to answer that prayer. He will never do that. If God gives you a burden to pray for something, then very well believe that God has the intention to answer that prayer. It's just that we pray once or twice or thrice and then we stop. But if we would be intentional to pray consistently, persistently, fervently, God will begin to move. God will do great things. And so we cannot stop praying because when the church prays, that's when its power and its full potential is released. So church, let 2020 be a year where the Ocean Church will be known as a church that prays. Amen. There has to be a difference, church, that if today or tomorrow it happens, God forbid, that the Ocean Church is not here, that people better miss us. But my question is, if we're to not exist today, will the community around us even miss us? Will they even notice a difference? That can only happen. Our impact will only be as great when we choose to begin to pray. Because when we pray, God gives us boldness and courage to do the things that is calling us to do. When we pray, God gives us his vision. When we pray, God shows us which way to go. And when we pray, we then become in alignment with the vision of God. So church, let us pray. Let us wake up. Let us wake up and let us realize that our part to pray in the body of Christ is vital and is necessary because, oh man, what a difference there is when the church prays. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for challenging us this morning. Father, I thank you for waking us up from our slumber. That, Father, we were asleep, but God, you are calling us this morning to begin to wake up and to be a church that prays. Because when we pray, we become united, and when we pray, God, you move. Father, we want to see you do great things in our midst and in our community and in our nation and in our continent. But God, I know that that will only happen when we begin to pray as a church. And so, Lord, I pray that may you challenge us. That God, may we not be comfortable. Lord, may you convict us every day so that, Father, we can then begin to start praying. That God, may you change our perspective. May you change our minds. And God, help us to see the importance of praying together as a body of Christ. Because God, I know without a shadow of a doubt that when two or three are gathered in your name, there you are with them. And that God, where two or three agree here on earth, God, then you, our Father in heaven, will listen and answer our prayer. And so God, may we pray in agreement. God, may we be unified so that, Lord, we can begin to see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen.